Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
So joining me now is Dr. Mark Rowe. He's a medical doctor, an author, and a thought leader in well-being. Mark recently released his fourth book, Things Your Future Self Will Thank You For, back in December, and with it appearing on the Irish bestsellers list. So well done you. The book, which weaves health, business and well-being together, shows how small changes can lead to significant lifestyle improvements. Mark, you're so welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Bobby.
Now, we haven't spoken for a while. I have spoken to you before and it's lovely to see you again. But tell me about this book, Things Your Future Self Will Thank You For. I love the title, firstly. So how did it come about? It is your fourth publication.
It is.
So clearly the first three went well. And if you're on the bestsellers list, that's even better.
It's becoming a bit of a habit, Bobby. But I suppose as a family doctor for a long time and someone that has met a lot of people down through the years, I've always been curious about how some people are able to make changes in their lives and others, many others, aren't or don't. And I think the idea of new year, new you is really oversold. And the idea of, you know, 21 days to a newer you or a fitter you. And of course, real life is very different from that for almost all of us. And real life gets in the way of making big changes. And we generally revert back to type. So I was really interested in, well, how could you support somebody in making some change? And the first thing to say is, we're always changing. This is the really interesting thing. Dan Gilbert had a fascinating TED talk a few years ago, and you know, the illusion of the future self. And in it, he describes how, like, you look back over the last 5 or 10 years of your life, Bobby, and you'll say to yourself, I've grown a lot, I've changed a lot. I maybe see the world quite differently now to 10 years ago. But actually, we tend to discount the potential for future change. And the reality is, 10 years from now, you'll be looking back on current self through the lens of future you, will be your past. So we're always changing. We have over 30 trillion cells in our body every single day. You know, 300 billion of them change. We're constantly changing. So then the question becomes, am I going to change in a health-enhancing or a health-depleting direction? Because change is constant. Now, second to that, there's been brilliant research done by neuroscientists with fMRI scans. These are living, breathing scans that look at sort of how the brain is working in real time, as it were, rather than a stationary picture. And these scans have shown that if Bobby is thinking about himself, a certain area of the brain lights up. And if you think of a complete stranger, a different area of the brain lights up. But here's the thing, if you're asked to think about yourself in the future, the brain area that lights up when you're thinking about the stranger is what lights up. In other words, your brain sees your future self as being different to your current self. And that's one of the reasons why making change can be so challenging.
Yeah, and I think if you accept that change is all around us and it's either change or be changed, as someone once said, I think once you accept that change is part of life, and sometimes people don't accept that, but I think, as time and experience and as we get older and more reflect more...
Wiser, Bobby.
Well, I think it is. You kind of do. And you worry about different stuff. You worry about, and that's part of change, is that what I worry about now, I may not have bothered me 20 years ago. And that's just life. But what fascinates me about you, Mark, is you're a medical doctor. You're so interested in making sure that maybe people don't come to you for medical reasons. Is this part of what drives your own philosophy on? But you have a huge interest in keeping people well so that they don't get sick.
Absolutely. Because health really is the greatest asset any of us has. It's absolutely priceless. And health, of course, is more than not being sick. It's more than the absence of disease. It's a state of complete physical, mental and relational well-being. And really, my life's purpose is really in supporting people to be well in themselves.
Yeah.
And to live life to the best of their ability on their own terms. And it's a fascinating idea this idea of being well. And it's not about being perfect. You know, none of us are. We're all flawed. That lovely Japanese term, wabi-sabi, you know, the crack in the vase, the blemish in the painting.
Where they go and they enhance the colour of the crack, isn't that it?
So that
you're basically proudly wearing your scars.
They call it kintsugi, you know. They celebrate the crack, they celebrate the flaw. And there's a lot in that. But, you know, if you're looking at sort of the new year, because this interview is in early January, you know, the idea of using the new year as a fresh start, that's a well-recognised psychological term. The idea that at a time of change, whether it's your birthday, whether it's the start of a new year, it's a chance to sort of reflect on where your life is at the present moment and maybe to look forward. The ancient Greeks called it telos, and it was always a time of year to sort of reflect on how things are going in your life, in your relationships, in your career, and what you might like to do a little bit differently.
And it does work for some people because it compartments. It's often a financial year.
Mm.
It's you're just over Christmas and all the festivities. So there are parts of me that says that it's a natural thing to want to maybe accelerate or embrace change in January. But it's also a very difficult time. And I think, as some of our motivational guests said to us last week on the show, that the stats say that it's much more likely to fail a January focus rather than, say, one in July.
Well, I think that's the problem with motivation. You know, it really won't get you very far. It might get you past Monday morning.
Yeah.
By Thursday evening when you're tired and you're sitting on the couch, it won't get you too far. I think the research shows maybe only 8% of people, certainly only a very small number, achieve their New Year resolutions. Most people kind of fall flat on their face after a few weeks. But actually, the spirit of wanting to improve your health is something I'd encourage people to reflect on. It's not about New Year, New You. It's seeing what are the small tweaks, what are the small things I could do that if I started 5 years from now and I look back, I'd be really glad I did, whether that's learning a new language, whether it's maybe going back and doing a night class, whether it's really recommitting to build more friendships or reinvest more in my existing friendships. Because, you know, the Harvard study of adult development has shown that the leading indicator of your well-being, Bobby, is the quality of your friendships, the quality of your interpersonal
relationships. I totally get that.
It's massive.
Totally get that. But I also think that even, you know, even deciding to do something new, something that changes the routine or changes, you know, whatever monotony that you might be enhanced in, i.e. you'd say do a night course, learn something, do start cooking something, but do something that maybe brings you outside your field of comfort. Are you a fan of writing things down? Are you a fan of goals and aspirations, or do they not work either?
Well, yes. I mean, when you do write things down, you tend to activate part of the brain known as the reticular activating system. So, you know, writing things down and with a plan, starting small, reviewing your plan regularly. You know, the philosophers of old were great advocates for keeping a written journal, a sort of a written account of your life, really.
Yeah.
You know, it's a great way to get your thoughts on paper. It's a great way to reframe things. And in the context of future self, it's a great way to build that bridge between current you and future you. This concept of writing a letter to your future self. Imagine 5 years from now, you know, what kind of places you're going to be traveling to, what courses are you going to take in the next 5 years, what kind of relationships are you going to have, what kind of health are you going to have, what sort of habits. So you can write a letter. There's no judgment on this. Write it. But it's a great way of, you know, reconnecting to your purpose, your values, your strengths, your relationships. And also you can build some goals in there, whether it's the big goals or small goals. And some people would even draw it out, because when you draw it, you've got the sort of the visual sense of drawing out your future self on a piece of paper. You've got the semantic memory of the meaning and the kinesthetic of drawing it down. So it's this idea of building that sense of connection, really getting to know yourself that little bit better.
Well, I do agree with you, and I think everybody might have their own route of doing this. But I think, you know, standing back from it, you need to probably decide what you want in 5 or 10 years. I think that's often what people don't do. They don't decide what it is they want.
I suppose people can be so busy and stressed, they often tend to drift along.
Yeah.
And just maybe staying in contention, as I often say, with the challenges of your life and the stresses of life can be actually more than good enough for, in the situations many people are in. But I do think it is something to think about, not so much what you want to do or what you want to have, but who you want to become.
Yeah.
Because really sustainable change or sustainable living is really about connecting with your purpose, living your own values, getting to know the why. So a lot of people would say, well, look, I think I'd like to do some more volunteering this year. And I'd say, well, what value does that connect with? It connects with the value of kindness. Someone else might say, well, I want to start an exercise class. Well, that connects with the value of health. Or I want to read more books. Well, that connects with the value of wisdom. So it's, if you can connect it with the value that it represents for you. And the other really important thing, Bobby, I think, is that a lot of people equate the sort of the noise around goals or the noise around sort of New Year and all that with negative things. I want to lose weight. I want to give up chocolate. And there's a lovely African proverb that says, if you're running away from something, it means something is chasing you. So as opposed to saying, I want to give up alcohol, you know, for January. And a lot of people do dry January, and it can be a really, really good thing. It can teach you so much about yourself. Well, actually, focus on, well, why do you want to do that? Maybe it's because I want to be healthier. I want to think more clearly.
Or because I can, as one fellow told me.
Yeah, because I can.
Yeah.
And that's a really...
I show myself that I'm able to give up for January.
It's a powerful idea, the idea of autonomy, that we actually have the power to choose in small ways each and every day. I mean, we all, to a certain extent, are creatures of habit, but we can choose small positive changes. And really the idea that very tiny, it's like compound interest, tiny positive incremental changes over time can really make a big difference.
And how do you find purpose? Because I think we agree that we all need purpose, but how do you find purpose when you don't maybe know what your purpose is, or if you find that you're not being fulfilled, or you're tired, or you're weary, or you don't have energy, and you're saying, what is my purpose? Or how can I find my purpose?
Purpose, great question, Bobby. Purpose is so important, and research has shown that having a strong sense of purpose reduces your risk of heart disease, reduces your risk of stroke. There was a big study done in Mount Sinai Hospital in New York on that. And really, the Japanese would call purpose your ikigai, the sweet spot of the essence of who you are. And it's really the intersection of four separate questions. It's, you know, what do I love to do? You know, what am I passionate about on the one hand? Secondly, what are my strengths? You know, what am I good at? Thirdly, what does the world need? Now, what does the world need could be, what does your neighborhood need, or what does the planet need, and everything in between?
Yeah.
And then number four is, how do I get valued? Now, for some people, getting valued is their paycheck. But for others, getting valued might be a sense of contribution to your community, or a sense of volunteering, or a sense of, you know, we were talking about grandchildren and so on, a sense of your wider family. So the intersection of those four questions is likely to provide you with a really strong guide to your purpose. And we can all find more purpose in our life. A really easy way to find more purpose is to reach out and support others. In fact, you know, if you, one of the best ways to be happier this year, one of the best ways to feel more confident, to feel more connected, to feel more purposeful, is to focus on others, to focus on the people around you. How can you be kinder? How can you be a better work colleague? How can you be a better husband? How can you be a better father? How can you be a better friend? How can you be a better neighbor? These are the great ways to build that sense of well-being that's more sustainable. Maya Angelou, you know, she was a great American writer, and she said, you know, we go through life and we realize we have two hands. One hand is to reach out and help others, and the second time is to reach back and support ourselves. So it's that, you know, it's the duality.
Yeah.
It's not about ourselves, it's about others, and that focusing on others actually helps ourselves too.
All right. The book is called Things Your Future Self Will Thank You For. The author is Dr. Mark Rowe. A pleasure to talk to you as always, Mark. And every success with it, I know this is going to be a big hit. So thanks for joining us here today. It's great to hear your outlook and your positive philosophy on life. I think it's very, very refreshing.
Thank you, Bobby.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.